Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
Patriots take the final knee in the final 30 seconds. Hoyer lined up in victory formation. And the Patriots, with Tom Brady as their starting quarterback and Bill Belichick as their head coach, are bound for the playoffs once again. 16 times in the last 18 years, 10 in a row as the AFC East Division champions.
Ryan Johnston and Mike Flynn in for Toucher and Rich here on this Wednesday morning, 26 degrees outside of our Town Fair Tire studios, and final week of the NFL regular season is upon us, Mike. And then, of course, Monday will be Black Monday, and we'll see a whole bunch of coaches getting fired. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Some of the names that have popped up, including the Jets, apparently want to throw a boatload of money at Jim Harbaugh to come and run their program in New York next year. But Patriots with a win over Buffalo. You weren't here with us on Monday as we recap that game. An impressive performance by the running game. You know, just ran all over Buffalo all day, but for Tom Brady, who says he's not hurt, said it over and over again, it's 100%, feels good, nothing to worry about. It was a weird day. Just, you know, not throwing the ball much. When they did, you know, it just wasn't clicking. Gronk has no catches on three targets. From an offensive perspective, it was not a game that filled you full of of confidence with the playoffs just staring right over the horizon at you.
Well, no, the defense has been better lately, but I don't think they're a great defense. So but it's most cases, right? Now in today's NFL, your quarterback needs to play well. And, you know, if you're surrounded by a system where you could play action, run the football, it could protect your quarterback to a degree, meaning you don't have to produce as some of these other guys do. But, yeah, like the last couple of weeks, the passing game just doesn't seem well-oiled. I mean, it just, you know, Gronkowski doesn't seem like the same guy since he's come back from being beat up. He had that, you know, one game where you thought, okay, yeah, he's not the guy he was 4 or 5 years ago, but he's good enough to command double coverage, to, you know, open up other players around him because there'll be attention on him. But that guy's there. You thought maybe Hogan would start being implemented in the offense more. He's not. And more importantly, Brady doesn't seem the same guy. And whether he's injured or not, okay, which could be a possibility. You know, we saw what was that down in Miami where, you know, they had to kind of help him off the field that, you know, there could be a knee issue, whether it's, you know, a sprain, whether there's something going on inside. Yeah, I think that could be an issue, and it could affect the way he throws in terms of the ability to get the ball downfield, the way he can drive into the ball. But to me, it's like the decision-making part of it. I mean, even like you look at the Miami game where, you know, he takes a sack when, you know, that's what quarterbacks have done in the past where we look at and say, what are they thinking there? You know, how do you not know there's no timeouts, the amount of time left in the game? That's what other teams do, you know, not Tom Brady. And the decision in the Pittsburgh game, where he throws that pick in the red zone, or decision making in clutch times, like at, you know, Pittsburgh going in the score, where there's maybe other opportunities instead of airmailing it into the end zone, where you had James White as an option, right? We're still time to make plays. So it's like that mental part of it that is surprising to me. Now, as a guy who has played a level where you have been hurt, right? You know, like I look at the play before in Miami when he takes a sack, right? He had Hogan wide open in the end zone, and he kind of overthrew him. But if you watch that play, he didn't step into the throw. He kind of turned his body. Very similar to like what that interception was in Pittsburgh. So, you know, maybe that injury is like kind of the focal point of it. And it's like, all right, I either got to make a bad decision throwing the ball early. I can't step into it. I don't have the balance, so I overthrow guys. Like, that could be part of it. But, you know, there's been just some bad decisions from him, too, the last few weeks. And, you know, it could be a combination of injury and also maybe not having a lot of faith in the weapons that he has around him.
Well, that's, you know, could potentially be part of it. But here was Brady after the game on Sunday. He was asked multiple times about how's he feeling.
Tom, were you surprised when you were taken out of the game with 6.5 minutes left?
No.
And how are you feeling physically at this point in the season?
I feel great. I feel 100%.
No injury on being taken out 6:38?
No, I'm not injured.
Okay. Yeah.
Not injured. Feel great. 100%.
I feel great. I feel 100%.
Now that's, look, we know that part of his brand at this point relies on him not being injured, relies on him being 100%, you know. I can't get hurt. I'm pliable. I'm drinking all my water with electrolytes. I'm, you know, eating all the right things. I'm Superman. But I listen to that and I say, okay, so if you're not injured, what is the matter then? What's the problem? If this is you at 100%, I'm more concerned than if you do have an injury, because an injury, hey, look, you're going to play this week. You know, it's nothing to keep you out. You're going to play this week, and then you're going to hopefully, you're going to get a week off, get a chance to heal up a little bit, and be ready for the playoffs. If you're not injured and you're just not playing up to the standards of Tom Brady, well, that's a scarier thing, because that could be signaling a much bigger problem that you're not going to overcome, which is the fact that you're just getting old. And your tight end, we know, is pretty much in the same boat. You guys are running out together. So, I mean, it's entirely possible that they come out against the Jets this week and Brady looks like Brady and they have a decent game and, you know, all is well going into the playoffs. But it's also entirely possible that what you saw against the Bills last week is, you know, a little bit closer to reality. It's probably somewhere in the middle. I don't think they're going to be the explosive offense that we hope they're going to be. If you can't do it against that, I mean, the Bills have a decent defense, but you also ran all over them. I mean, if your running game is that good, you'd figure at some point the Bills say, okay, we've got to really lock it up. We got to concentrate on the run here. You would have expected that at some point your passing game gets going off of that, and it just never really clicked.
Well, I mean, they ran for 273. You know, I think they have the ability to rush the football, but if you're that good, if that's your style, like, that would have been repeated at some point during the season.
Yeah.
We saw them. They've struggled at third and ones at times. You know, that's not their style. Like, that, I don't feel like that's how they win. I think they're going to struggle against the Jets. Now, I mean, you look at a game where Philip Dorsett Hogan, they don't have a target. Gronkowski doesn't have a catch. Now, listen, you run for 273, certainly in terms of just the numbers standpoint, your passing game is going to struggle. In terms of production, because you run for 273, you're not going to get as many possessions. But, you know, they Pittsburgh's defense is okay. Buffalo's defense is okay. But they just don't seem right. And this goes far back as, you know, when Brady had that interview with Bedard, right? And we were on, like, when it came out, we were talking about it. And he just felt he's never comfortable that as a quarterback to be able to just step into your throw, and this is before any kind of injury talk.
Yeah, this was like about midway through the season.
Yes.
This was the interview he brought up Danny Amendola for no particular reason. It wasn't asked about it. And he was but he was talking about, yeah, having the trust in those receivers.
And the ability just to step into a throw, let it go, and the guy you're throwing to is on the same page. And that kind of feels like how that passing game is. That it's a little off. That, you know, that the guys that he had here, he just doesn't quite feel comfortable, whether he's rushing his throws or, you know, he doesn't deliver guys like Hogan, which, you know, he's been around long enough. That's what it feels like. That's what it looks like. And, you know, the playoffs are a hard time to figure that out, right? Because if there is an issue, whether you're how you play defensively, whether you know, your receiving core struggles, whether it's your quarterback is the issue, generally that gets exposed in the playoffs because obviously you're playing better teams. The focus is different. Like, I don't know how much better that part of the game will be. I mean, they may do enough to win football games, certainly, because the AFC isn't that scary right now. It's pretty much wide open. But, yeah, it's been kind of that way all year. I mean, we've seen a lot of games this year where you just scratch your head and say, what's going on? Like, where's the consistency, you know, where's that, you know, that feeling like, okay, they kind of figured it out. And what makes it different than past years is usually by this time they figure it out, meaning they have division games at the end of the year. Most of the time, all those teams are kind of out of it and they just kill people. Like that 24, you watch that Bills game and it's like, if the Bills had a pulse, who knows? They may have lost that game. I mean, there are plays to be made by Josh Allen, and the guy just can't throw. Can't hit anybody. They lose two out of their last three. Like, this isn't a December type of Patriots team. So, there's definitely concern. And, you know, as much as things change, it remains the same. You know what? They're going to be a two seed. I would not be shocked if the Chiefs get dumped and you're the one seed. But going into the playoffs, I mean, boy. I mean, offensively, man, that's one thing you could hang your hat on. Like Tom Brady, Gronkowski, Edelman, like that whole thing would be working. And it's a defense you had to worry about. Now it's like, can they win if your defense has got to carry you for two, three games in the playoffs?
Well, we'll ask that question to Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal. He's going to join us coming up next. It's Ryan Johnston and Mike Flynn in for Toucher and Rich.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher. No police were called.
And Rich.
I am somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dorsett motions into the back, but Brady takes the snap of the play fake to White. Firing down the middle. Yes. Edelman makes the catch on the run to the 20 and twisted down at the 15, but he rolled over a defender. Stayed on his feet. Sprinted into the end zone with a dive. Touchdown, Patriots.
Iron Man.
You know, in the end, we were able to make a enough plays on all three phases of the game. I thought our punt and turn teams gave us a lot of good field position plays throughout the course of the game. And then, you know, we were able to run the ball fairly consistently, play pretty good defense. So those are all good things. You know, it's good to win. You know, good to know that our season's going to extend a little bit here.
Patriots with one more regular season game to go before they head into the postseason. And joining us to talk about that is Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal, joining us on the phone right now. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys.
So we were just talking before you came on about the Patriots, and you know, they come off of the win over Buffalo. They win the AFC East Championship again. You know, they're into the two spot and they still have a chance to potentially get home field advantage. Even if they don't get home field advantage, there's a chance they could end up with the AFC Championship game in Foxborough. And yet, you know, for a lot of us, I think there's an uneasy feeling because of the way that the offense has looked in the last couple of weeks and, you know, some of the issues around this team. Can you steer us away from that, or are you feeling the same thing?
I have to be honest, I'm kind of feeling the same thing just because this season has been so unordinary. You know, I'd say almost every year you sort of expect the Patriots to pull through, and every year you expect the Pats to win 12 games, end up in the conference title game, and compete for a spot in the Super Bowl. And this year, it hasn't happened for me. You know, we're in the final regular season, and final game of the regular season, and the offense doesn't look right. Tom Brady doesn't look right. Rob Gronkowski doesn't look right. Josh Gordon's gone. I guess with this team, I'm sort of cautiously optimistic because the defense is playing well, but I need to see something, just anything from this passing game in this final week before I really think they have a shot to make a run.
Hey, Mark, the game plan last week, the Celtics are good as anybody, right? Week-to-week game plan. So they run the football, 273 yards. They're decent up front. Do you think that it was Bill's week, it's something they saw, or moving forward, are we going to see a bigger emphasis on the running game, this week against the Jets and into the playoffs?
Right. I think at this point, you need to have a bigger emphasis on the running game. It's what you need to do to counteract sort of what's going on offensively. You know, it's been interesting because the first half of that Miami game, Tom Brady in the passing game looked phenomenal. And then since Tom Brady threw that touchdown pass to Gronk and he went down with his, quote-unquote, malfunction there with his knee brace, things haven't looked great. And I think in order to just, again, counteract that, you need to run the ball. And I think that's what the Patriots are until they prove otherwise. It's concerning to me that, Gronk's sort of been the same all season, and then you have guys like Chris Hogan and Philip Dorsett who have been the same all season, which they haven't really been a big part. And when you're looking at a guy like even like Cordarrelle Patterson, you said to yourself last week, like, oh, wow, he's a big part of the offense. When you start to think like that, I think it's all about the run now. And, I mean, it's Tom Brady, so if you guys tell me he's going to throw over 350 yards against the Jets, I'll be like, yeah, okay. Maybe he will, but I have to, I'm going to wait and see, and I can't say it's going to happen overnight.
Do you believe Brady when he says he's feeling okay? He's feeling 100%?
No, I don't, because he doesn't look it. You know, something just looks off this year. He's been bailing on throws a little sooner. You know, it's almost like he senses pressure that's not always there. And I feel like with Tom, we've always talked about his footwork, right? Even last year, he would have pressure, use his footwork to move up in the pocket, escape the pressure, and make a nice pass. And we'd all sort of talk about pliability and how good his feet work look and this and that. And this year, that hasn't been the case at all. And I don't believe his footwork has gotten bad overnight. So for me, it's either this guy is injured, which he's been on the injury report with a knee injury, or it's just, he's 41 years old and he's losing it. I don't believe that he's losing it yet, so I have to believe he's injured.
Well, but and I'm not saying it's the case because I believe that there's something wrong with him too, but I almost look at it and say, I expected this kind of thing would happen several years ago, that this is the way it ends. I mean, you look at quarterbacks who make it into their late 30s and early 40s, it happens suddenly, right, with no real explanation. It just... the arm isn't as strong as it used to be. They get a little antsy in the pocket, whatever it might be. And it just, there's a year where it's just not the same. And I don't know that this is the year. Time will tell about that eventually. But that's my concern, is that it's not an injury. And it's just that Brady has reached the edge of the cliff here.
You don't bring up a bad point just because of the things he's been doing are so un-Brady-like. And I even feel like in the beginning of the season, too, there's always been those one or two throws a game that you say, either Tom makes that or that's not a throw he would make. And I feel like things like that, I would certainly point to age. And I guess there's another part of this that I didn't bring up, is that, his offensive weapons aren't great right now. And if Rob Gronkowski was Rob Gronkowski and they didn't lose Amendola and Cooks, maybe those problems aren't there. Maybe it's that. Maybe he has happy feet because of all the weapons around him. But I think you make up a good point that, maybe it is age. Maybe his reflexes are slowing down, and maybe or slowing down in the sense that the game's speeding up. That's certainly possible.
The one of the guys, Hogan, you mentioned, didn't have a target. He's one guy that I thought at some point, right, if whether right. Gordon not being here, even at the beginning of the year with Edelman being out, that there'd be some sort of connection there, that he'd be productive. Like, what do you see with Hogan? What's just not working with Brady? Is he not getting open, or is it Brady not looking his way?
It's surprising, to say the least. I really thought Chris Hogan would be a major player in this offense, especially after the offensive weapons they lost. I mean, through the midway point last year, he was on pace for 800 yards and 10 touchdowns. And this year, this last year on his contract, I think, unfortunately, this circumstance has cost him a lot of money. And I wonder how much of that factors in. You know, you start to get a little frustrated because you're not producing like you hoped you would in the contract year, and it affects you on the field. But he was playing a lot of snaps. That's the thing. He's playing a lot more than Philip Dorsett. He played a lot last week. So I think it's a combination. I think there are times he's been open and Tom Brady hasn't gone there. And there are other times where, unlike last year, he's not as open as much. And I wonder how much that has to do with the contract stuff. I mean, he'll never admit to that because, you know, he's a good guy in the locker room. But I have to think, you know, you're human. And if you're in a contract year and you're not producing, it must impact you in some ways.
Brady did an interview earlier this year. Mike brought it up earlier this morning that there's, you know, you got to have confidence in the guys around you. You got to have confidence in those receivers. And I look at the way Chris Hogan's season has played out, and I mean, he doesn't have more than two targets, you know, basically in a game since the Bears game back in week 7. I mean, that has all the earmarks of a guy who has, you know, whose quarterback has no confidence in him. It's not like Brady's throwing to him and he's not coming up with these balls. I mean, he's just not seeing the ball at all, which is odd considering what role he had in this offense before. I mean, he's a legitimate downfield threat that Brady can get the ball to, and he's shown the ability to make big plays for this team.
Yeah, and a couple of years ago, he was in the NFL league leaders for yards per catch. He was Tom's best deep threat back in 2016, I want to say. And I also found this interesting last week when we were talking to Belichick. Belichick went through his Friday press conference, basically praising every single receiver on the roster. That included their practice squad receiver, Damone Patterson. I asked him about Chris Hogan and how he's handled his role this year, and he just said, like, quote, he's healthy, so that's a good thing. And we're all kind of like, oh, that's not a ringing endorsement at all. That was shocking. I mean, he went on and on about Philip Dorsett, who's not even playing. You ask him about Hogan, he says he's healthy. I'm like, yeah, that probably tells us all we need to know about Chris right now.
Yeah, because I hadn't heard the clip about Hogan, but I heard that he was gushing over Dorsett at that same press conference, talking about how, oh, he can adapt to any role that we put him in, and oh, you know, he's I mean, for Belichick to go on like that about one player, it was like, you know, it almost surprises you.
Yeah, and then so there's plays and isn't targeted. He rushes for like 13 yards, and Hogan plays more, but he's not really targeted. So yeah, it's kind of a guessing game with Bill, just say that.
All right, Mark, we appreciate the time this morning, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
There is Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal. You can find him on Twitter at Mark Daniels PJ. Didn't get a chance to ask him about the Josh Gordon stuff that came out the other day. We're going to talk about that. The level of security the Patriots had around Josh Gordon while he was here was pretty intense, it sounds like, and yet he still managed multiple, if you believe the report from Ian Rappaport the other day, multiple infractions that led to his now indefinite suspension. So we'll get to that coming up. Sports Hub headlines now. It's Johnston and Flynn in for Tutcher and Rich.
Tutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, how are you, honey? Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Tutcher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Johnston and Flynn in for Tutcher and Rich here on this Wednesday morning. Some news coming out in the last few days about Josh Gordon. Of course, now indefinitely suspended by the NFL and potentially his NFL career over after that news came out last week, Mike. And what we're learning in the days since is that the Patriots had essentially 24-hour security following Josh Gordon around during his time with the team. Adam Schefter reported that during the Patriots' bye week, which was November 18th-ish, Gordon managed to slip away from his security detail for at least a little bit, and that may have been the time that he did something that helped violate the substance abuse policy. The report that came out Sunday morning was that there were multiple violations that led to his most recent suspension. The report also said it was more than marijuana, which is what a lot of people have, you know, kind of assumed. When he went back on, he's like, well, you know, did he smoke a little weed? Like, because that's one of his drugs of choice. Maybe he just, you know, felt like he could get away with a little weed. You know, the guy's an addict. He's, you know, he does what he does. Nope, they're saying it was more than that. But the Patriots having a security team essentially living with this guy, following him around for, you know, for all the time he was here, and he still couldn't stay clean.
Well, it's not like if he wanted to leave. I mean, it's not like they're, you know, law enforcement or somebody where they could dictate where he could go.
Well, no, but they could say, you know what? Look, you let these guys follow you around 24 hours a day, or you don't have a job.
Yeah, and that probably helped for a while, because it's his job was at stake. And, you know, if he was sober, he realized the magnitude of that. But at the end of the day, just having some guy follow you around isn't going to stop you from relapsing and turn into what you are unless you get other things solved. So, yeah, it wasn't that surprising. Now, you know, they valued him. Why did the Patriots do that? To help him or to secure their investment? You know, that could be another conversation.
Yeah, I
don't know how that helps him. I mean, it certainly would help secure an investment. I mean, if you have a security detail and you want to go someplace or, you know, or put yourself in an environment that isn't conducive for your rehab, yes, they could help. And, you know, that could be a deterrent for you. But eventually, and we saw that if it was the bye week, that eventually that's not going to work anymore. And I said that when he came here, they said, oh, this is the place for him. It's the structure in the locker room. It's like, his problem isn't the locker room structure or the head coach or leadership in a locker room. It's like addiction. It's mental health. So, you know, if it works here, it's not because of Bill. It's because of him. He wants to change his life. But I just don't know how much that would help. I mean, it's not like they have some sort of authority. I'm like, no, you can't do this.
And look, I said this the other day, but the way that he announced that he was stepping away and said, I'm stepping away to focus on my mental health, and made it sound like it was voluntary, right? That he just, you know, maybe he's feeling like he's about to crack, and so he needs to step away from football. And we all saw that last Thursday, and said, oh, wow, you know, he's obviously having some issues. And then within like 5 minutes, it was, well, he's about to be suspended by the league. And that to me showed, this guy, you know, as you just said, you know, is he trying to change his life? Does he want to change his life? And I saw that and I said, that doesn't seem like a guy who's taking responsibility for the fact that he's about to get suspended again and now has been suspended again. He's not, look, yes, it's a disease. It's something that is impossible for some people to control. I get that. But until he gets to a point where he says, you know what, it's on me. It's not about anything else but me. it's never going it's never going to get better.
Well,
and,
no,
and it seems like that, you know, even facing the end of his football career, he wasn't willing to take responsibility for it.
Well, I mean, I guess if you have something that could bankroll your addiction, right? And then all of a sudden you have people that you have a commodity, meaning you're a good enough athlete where the best team in the NFL over the last 15 years will sign you and provide you with a security detail, right? It seems like a lot harder to me to hit rock bottom than most people, right?
Yeah.
Most people in his situation would have hit rock bottom a long time ago. And who knows? Maybe that's what he needs to kind of look in the mirror and say, I got to change this. Because the reality is, like, I mean, Cleveland always wanted him back. You know, the NFL wants him back. The Patriots wanted him. He always had that next step, and to be forgiven and get back into, and certainly can bankroll whatever he's trying to do. Now, at this point, like, I don't know how he'd ever come back in the NFL.
Well, I was just about to ask you that question. Do you think Josh Gordon ever plays another game in the NFL?
I don't. I don't, because I think it's – I mean, how long before he could cure his issues, right? Like,
well, I mean, he's already – he missed two full seasons.
He's played 10 games in like 4 years up until this one, right?
Yeah. I mean, he missed two full seasons in 2015 and 2016. He only played five games the year before that. He only played five games last year. I mean, he's going to be out at again, multiple seasons here. There's no way the NFL, you know, suspends him for the rest of the year and then says, okay, we'll bring him back mid-season next year. Like, he's gone a long time.
I think
he'll be pushing 30 at minimum before they would think about reinstating him.
Well, I think there's a chance because I think he'll have opportunity. I mean, he's not a pariah like Ray Rice was or that Kareem Hunt could be.
But if you're
Kevin
another team and down the road they say, okay, we're open to reinstating him. If you're another team and this guy, you know, couldn't keep clean with the Patriots and a chance to win the Super Bowl. Like,
yeah, but it's not about the Patriots. It's not about Bill Belichick. It's not about winning a Super Bowl. If he's away from the game and he's changed, and I don't know how you evaluate that, right? If you're the team, you're going to talk to the guy. And listen, if you're a guy that's been addicted, you could BS anybody, right? You could look him in the eye and lie. But if you feel that he's clean, he's ready to play, I mean, everything he's been through, he's only 27 and he's 29-ish. He's in great shape. Like, why wouldn't you give an opportunity?
Because
there's no backlash. There's okay. No risk.
Well, you can say there's no risk, but no, the risk is what just happened. You were the one who brought this up because I was entirely on board with, yeah, bring Josh Gordon here. Bring him here. Like, what's the risk? And you said it. The risk is he comes in here, he plays well for you, and then you lose him.
And he pulls
right before the playoffs because he relapses, and that's what happened.
Well, I mean, you could see but that's because the Patriots signed him because there was desperation there. There was a need that they needed to fill, and that was the risk for the Patriots, not financially. The risk was, like, all of a sudden this guy comes in, and he plays really well, and he's a focal point of your offense, and boom, he relapses like he has in the past. You know, moving forward, it's going to be he would be a luxury. But I think opportunity be there for him. But dude, he's got such a long way to go to get back into the league. But like I said, like, he's not a pariah. He's not a guy where if you sign him, people would be like, oh, God, how could you sign this guy? And get backlash like Jerry Jones did, or get backlash with other teams when they sign somebody that's, you know, domestic violence or something along those lines. He's a guy that's struggling with addiction, and people do have sympathy for him. They're like, dude, you got to clean up your life, but they do have sympathy. So I think there could be an opportunity there. But, I mean, he's had those blocks in his career where he could have figured it out. And I don't know. Maybe the rock bottom needs to be like, football's over, and eventually the bankroll, the money is going to be gone. So it's all about you, right? It's like you need to figure this out and come to grips with what's going on. But if that happens, why wouldn't somebody sign him? Like, to me, Josh Gordon, there wasn't risk for the Patriots financially that
– No, the risk was –
I don't think he's a guy that's going to ruin your clubhouse. But, yeah, the risk was that he was going to be a focal point of their offense, which he was, and you signed him out of desperation because you were so desperate to fill that need – that you bring him in, there was production there, now he's gone. And we've seen the last couple of weeks, they've struggled. And it's not all because of Josh Gordon, I'm not saying that, but you're right. If you fill in a role for him to play, and all of a sudden he's gone, I mean, what's the difference if a guy gets hurt? You know, if you had a guy that was very productive and he gets hurt, it's the same type of thing.
No, look, you've got that, you know, that risk with everybody who's on the field. There's a potential that they could get hurt and not be around, but you add this on to it, it becomes that much riskier. 617-779-0985. I will admit, I had missed this. Kevin Spacey put out a video for the holiday season, and I'm not making this up. It might be one of the creepier things I've ever seen. We will get into that coming up next.
Toucher and Rich.
Miss something?
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Ryan Johnston and Mike Flynn in for Toucher and Rich. Yeah, you get into the holidays, a lot of family around, a lot of events going on. You tend to, I check out on the news for a couple of days. Come back this morning and find out Kevin Spacey is facing a criminal charge out of Nantucket. Going to be arraigned January 7th in Nantucket District Court. On a charge of indecent assault and battery. This is the case involving the son of Heather Unruh, the Boston news anchor that he allegedly assaulted in a bar in Nantucket. And, of course, we all know allegations like this basically ended Kevin Spacey's acting career. And yet he put out a video. Now, important to note, Mike, I pulled up Kevin Spacey's Twitter account where he released this video on Christmas Eve. He had not tweeted since October 30th, 2017, and the last tweet was a statement about the allegations that had been made against him by Anthony Rapp, the actor, who said that Spacey had groped him like 30 years ago. And he put out a statement and said, "This story has encouraged me to address other things about my life. I don't know if it happened. I don't remember it. But if it did, it's, you know, I was obviously drunk and I'm sorry," and all of this. And he came out as gay. "I've loved and had romantic encounters with men throughout my life, and I now choose to live as a gay man." And it was, I think a lot of people at the time looked at that and said, you know, that's how you're choosing to come out? Like, somebody makes an allegation against you and you say, "Well, I'm not sure if I did it or not. But by the way, everybody, I'm gay." Well, on Christmas Eve, he puts out this video. And if you're a fan of House of Cards, which I am, he's obviously playing the Frank Underwood character. In fact, the title of the YouTube video is "Let Me Be Frank." And to set this up, he is in the kitchen. He's wearing an apron. The video opens with him, you know, like washing his hands. And at various points during the video, it looks like he's, you know, like carving the roast. And he's, you know, there's the sounds of like a Christmas party going on around him. And it's just him talking into the camera the way he does on House of Cards.
With the accent.
With the Southern accent. And talking about, in a vague way, the allegations against him. We're going to get to the audio of that. Let's get to headlines. We'll play you the audio of this video coming up next. It's Johnston and Flynn in for Toucher and Rich here on this Wednesday morning.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. Helplinema.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at Awaken180WeightLoss.com.